Today's episode is especially for the parents. But even if you're not a parent, you can benefit from what I'm talking about today. How to get our kids to talk to us and listen. So much of that power is right there in your voice. I think you're going to like this episode, and I hope you won't miss a minute.
Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I'm so glad you're with me as always. Thank you for your shares and your downloads and for being a subscriber. I sure do value having you on this journey with me, and I love it when I hear from my listeners. You know, I just did a whole series of Q&A, and all of that came from my listeners, and I love it when I hear from you, whether you have a question or not. I love to hear what's going well, what you need help with. And I got a question, or a suggestion, rather, from one of my all-time favorite listeners. I know who this person is. So Stephen sent in a message about, if you think it would interest people, I would love to hear about talking with your teenagers. And I thought it was, you know, it was great. I actually have a whole course on public speaking or using your voice for kids and teens. And I'm actually developing a program, Psychology of the Voice program, for schools. And I was just the guest on a podcast. The interview should be rolling out at some point. And this man works with people, a lot of kids and teens with ADHD, and he had me on the show to talk about our voice in dealing with teens and kids and people in general with ADHD. So, Stephen, I thought that your message was so timely with what's going on, with what I'm working on, and I always gravitate to, when I do my episodes, when I pick my topics, I always gravitate to what's right in front of my face, either with my private clients or, you know, just like all these things I've just mentioned. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about your voice and it's going to be a little bit about communication in relation to your teens and kids. Now, the first thing I want to say on this is do not worry about anything you've done that I'm going to say something about. Like, you are really, really instrumental in developing your child's psychology of the voice story. Now, I don't want that to freak you out. If you have told your children to shut up, if you have yelled at your children, if you've said things that you wish you hadn't said, I mean, come on, we all have. You know, I mean, I just really am drawing on this from my experience, 28 years of research, and my own experience growing up and the damage that was done by not being allowed to speak, being silenced, being given the silent treatment, being yelled at, and then, of course, being spoken to. You know, this, what is 7% is still words. I know I always, you know, I'm like, nah, the words don't mean anything. The words are nothing. But the words are nothing and they're everything. And I was just thinking back the other day to a time when I was told that, you know, had this great opportunity to, and this is even after college, had this great opportunity to go work on my master's degrees. I was offered several full paid scholarships to some pretty impressive schools to get my acting degree. And I remember being told, you can't do that. You'll never make it. You will never, ever be able to survive. And as a matter of fact, chances are good, you'll probably get killed. So that changed the whole trajectory of my life. Now, it's not a criticism. I don't want you to feel bad for me because, you know, if I had gone that path, I don't know if I'd be right here. I don't know. But in retrospect, it was just another way for me to see a ding. And I call them dings. The psychology of the boy's story is full of dings. And a lot of it comes from parents. Not just parents, though. Teachers, friends, neighbors, shop owners, leaders. It comes from everywhere. And it lasts our entire life. So I don't want you to feel bad about anything that you've done, all right? We can't change it. We can't go back. We can't redo. No problem. We could just maybe do things a little bit different moving forward. Now, what we talked about a lot on the other podcast in the interview I'm going to talk about, but I just kind of want to break this down a little bit. So first of all, you've heard me talk about the muscle memory. What is in the muscle memory is what you're going to draw from. It is the top layer. In fact, I was working with someone yesterday and we were really rewriting her psychology of the voice story that was in the top layer of her muscle memory that was laid in by her, predominantly by her mother. It becomes the go-to. So the first thing I want to talk about is your response to your children. It's in your muscle memory. It's almost an automatic. And one of the first things is being predictable. I have had so many parents come up to me over the years and say, I can't get my kids to listen to me. What do I do? And I'm always yelling at them. And I, you know, say, stop right there. You're always yelling at them? Yeah. I mean, I'm always saying, hey, Johnny, you know, get your room cleaned. And I said, all right, that's your first mistake. If we'll call it a mistake. We won't call it a mistake. That's your first problem is that you're predictable. Johnny knows what you're going to do because you do the same thing every time. And it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's in your muscle memory. You get charged. You're frazzled already. You're tired. You're working. You're this, you're that. You got 19 different things you're doing. And you've asked Johnny and he doesn't do it. And you snap and you yell. And he knows. Because that's what you always do. And so we've got to do something first and foremost that's not so predictable. Now, don't worry. I'm going to talk about a lot of things. So if you're thinking, well, this isn't really what I was thinking about for this episode, don't worry. I've got a lot of stuff to cover. So first and foremost, do something that you don't normally do. I remember working with a woman in Texas and she had four boys. And she was one of the ones that she came up and said, I'm always yelling. And I said, okay, so what first thing we have to do is I want you to be quiet. I want you to get down on their level and I want you to just talk to them, not yell at them. And she tried it and it worked. And she did it about three times. And she said, it's really hard. It's easier just to yell. Yeah, you're right. It can be hard because it's different and it takes more time and it requires patience and putting something different in the muscle memory. So if you're the parent that, and I think we all are, you know, well, I'll talk about what I've done with my son in just a minute. You know, in the heat of the moment, you're frustrated, you're tired, and you snap and you yell. So here's something that you can do. Now, ultimately, I'm going to talk about in this episode push versus pull vocally, but I want you to do something different, unpredictable. So if you have to yell the person's name first, then immediately catch yourself and bring it down. Because if you've got four boys and they're all yelling and running through the house and you go, boys, I need you to listen. They're not even going to hear you, right? So you may have to, that knee-jerk reaction, hey, you know, whatever it is, you get their attention. And then instead of continuing to scream at them, you bring it in. I need you to listen to me. You become unpredictable. So if you're fast all the time, go slow. If you're loud, go quiet. If you're quiet, go loud, right? You've got to do something different because they have got it memorized what you're going to do. As automatic as your response is as automatic as they're hearing it. And so they're not even hearing it anymore. All right. So, you know, I'm in agreement with you if you have to raise your voice to get their attention and then bring it down. Maybe you don't have to raise your voice, go ahead and bring it down. But the bottom line of all of this, you've got to start doing something different. Push and pull are something really important for you to think about. And I don't know, you know, I talk about this a lot, and it's huge. Push is loud and fast. Pull is quiet, pause, slower. You have to have both, right? I'm not telling you don't push, but what I have seen over the past 20 years in my business, we gravitate to push loud and fast. Business is loud and fast. Boardrooms are loud and fast. Parenting is loud and fast. I got to get your attention. I got to get you to hear. I'm pushing, I'm pushing, I'm pushing. And you know what you're doing? Repelling, repelling, repelling. So do you see how powerful your tone is when speaking with your children? Because if you are yelling at them, you are repelling them. And let me be an example. There were two choices when I spoke growing up, and I have an extreme story again, so don't worry, don't worry. Screamed at me, repelled me, terrified me so that I would never speak, or silent treatment, which is, you know, that's a whole nother story. But that yelling, that pushing, that fast is repelling. And what you really want is for your children and your teens to do what you want them to do. So why are you repelling them? Pull them close. In the quiet, in the slow, in the pause, not silent treatment, but in the pause, connections are built. If I trust you, I am more likely to listen to you and do what you ask me to do. But I have to be able to trust you. If you are pushing at me constantly, it will be harder for me to trust you. So push and pull are really important. If you're not using pull, you want to start doing that ASAP. And the first one I would probably recommend to start with is quiet. And you know, it's funny. When I was working with this woman yesterday, she was like just fascinated with how I use quiet. And I said, everybody is, because nobody's ever said, hey, when you get quiet, it's really powerful. And it is. It's the second most powerful tool in the toolbox. Pause is first. Hey, guess where loud is? Second to last. And fast? Last. Yeah, that's what everybody does. So start thinking about rolling those pull elements in. When you ask a question, what were you thinking? Well, I'll tell you what you were thinking. You were doing this. Don't answer it without pausing first. What were you thinking? Pause. Because in the pause, when you talk to your children or when you do business presentations or conversations or meetings, when you do pause, the subconscious mind of your audience says, hey, he cares what I think. So don't just barrel out words. Torrents of words are terrifying. Pause. I'd like to talk to you. And this is what I want to talk about, right? It's really important to empower the listener. So we want power, and we think these are just our kids. We have to have power with them. I have to have power. I got to have power with this teenager. I got to show them. You know, they're unruly. By empowering your listener, you're actually gaining power. So by making your child feel like they are going to be heard, you will in turn be heard. Because that's all anybody really wants anyway, is to feel like they've been heard. I mean, obviously people want love and connection, but people want to feel heard. So when you are pushing and when you are shoving and when you are not pausing and you are repelling, your child does not feel like they're going to be heard. So why bother talking? You're not going to hear me anyway. Now, that doesn't mean you get run over. Doesn't mean you give them everything they want. It means you give them an opportunity to be heard. Another way that you can really take the edge off your voice is before you say anything, take in a breath and then speak. Take in a breath and then speak. Because it's going to take the edge, the agenda, the emotion off of your voice. Now, in a perfect world, you can disconnect from the emotion that you're feeling, the rage that you're feeling, the sadness that you're feeling, the frustration that you're feeling, disconnect from that and have a conversation. There's power in that. We get all bogged down in the emotional charge and we start this torrent of words and we don't pause and we don't breathe and we push and we repel and we don't hear anything they have to say. We don't even want to. And then we wonder, why won't they talk to us? Why won't she tell me what's going on? I feel like the luckiest parent in my son's school. My son is almost 17, and he tells me everything. There is not a time when he is upset that I don't say, what's going on? I can tell there's something wrong. Of course, I can hear it in his voice, and he'll tell me. He talks to me. I can count on one hand in almost 17 years that he didn't want to talk about it. I can think of three times in 17 years. And I'm not sitting here bragging. I want to share this with you because it's possible, because one thing that I always did, one, I never said shut up to him. In fact, it's not allowed in my house. In fact, he had some kids over the other day and one of them told the other one to shut up. And I kind of got a little upset. Because it's just not how I roll. I always allowed him to speak. I always encouraged him to speak. I always wanted to hear what he had to say. And I tried and continue to try really hard not to yell. I'm not saying I've never done it, because I have snapped a few times. But I've worked really hard to disconnect from the emotion, tap into the pull elements, and have a conversation with him so that he feels safe. Why? Because I never did. Because I went into adulthood terrified to use my voice. I made choices that negatively affected my life because I couldn't use my voice. And that is the one thing. If I fail at every other thing about being a parent, I want him to be able to say what he needs to say, to speak his truth beautifully. And honestly, he does. And not just with me. Lots of people comment about Jack and how he's very polite for one thing. And if he doesn't want to do something, he tells you he doesn't want to do it. You know, he's not going to be the kid that says, no, you know, he doesn't want pizza, but he doesn't say anything. He'll say, I don't really eat pizza. You know, so it can be done. I want to encourage you. And everything I'm telling you in this episode that you should do, that's what I did. Now, something else that you can think about in this, you know, making your child feel like they're going to be heard is, you've heard me talk about that, I have episodes on this, connection phrases. I hear what you're saying and now I need to speak. I hear what you're saying. I understand you are frustrated, but I've got to put the law down here. I want to hear what you have to say. Absolutely, I do. And then I'll tell you what I think. Phrases with I and you. When you start shouting orders, you're repelling. Now, yes, you're the parent. Yes, you get to be in control. Yes, you're in charge. But if you can find the balance and allow your child to say what they need to say and feel safe doing it, everything will change. And that's different than letting them run over you. Another thing that I always did with Jack, and I still do. I always say when I've messed up. If I raised my voice, I immediately come in and say, you know what? I am really sorry that I raised my voice at you. It was uncalled for. But I'd like to talk to you now. You know, why I did it because I was upset, or I did it because I was emotionally charged. I did it, you know, whatever. I literally talk to my child. I talk about why I do what I do. I talk about mistakes that I make. Now, I'm not saying unload all your mistakes. I'm saying when I've made a mistake with him, when I've said something that I maybe shouldn't have said, or I snapped and I didn't mean to, I always come back and I say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to snap at you like that. I was just really frustrated in the moment. We're in the car. You know how I, you know how the traffic upsets me, and I took it out on you, and I apologize. I know so many people that were never, ever, ever apologized to. I'm one of them. I was yelled at my whole life, and I waited forever to get that apology. And it's never going to come, and that's okay. I've released that. But if you want your child to talk to you, you need to talk to them. Water seeks its own level, always. And when your child is talking to you, when you can do all of these things up to this point, your child will hopefully start sharing more with you if that's the end goal. Listen when they're speaking. Don't be planning the punishment, planning the agenda, planning the response, getting ready to attack. Listen to what they have to say. And then respond. Because again, when you listen, and you're not thinking about everything you're going to say, when you listen, when you respond, the edge is going to be off your voice. The edge is what is pushing them away. The edge, the tone that says, I don't care what you think, I'm boss here. That's what's pushing them away. So it's not creating equals. It's taking a different kind of control. It's taking a more powerful control that is based in pull and listening and breathing rather than fast, loud attack, brace mode. Remember to breathe when you're listening. If you can breathe when you're listening, you're going to get grounded in your body and out of your head where all the emotional chaos is. And, you know, again, if you're upset and you can take in a breath and detach from that emotion and tap into the conversation, the message, what you want them to feel, that's huge. Instead of torrents of words, what do I want him to feel? What do I want her to feel? I want her to feel like I care about her, but there are certain dangers in the world. I want him to feel safe, but I also need to make him aware that he has to do things a certain way while he's under this roof, you know, whatever it is. If you make a safe place that is open, they will open up. If you have a closed, braced, loud, push place, they will close. I think that this was a wonderful suggestion, Stephen. Thank you. And I think it's wonderful because parents play such a massive role in the psychology of the voice story. Every time, just about 90% of the time that I work with people, it comes out, not that their parents were abusive. It's not like that. Mine may have been, but military family. Or, you know, I mean, whatever it is, certain things are said and said a certain way. Nobody's intending to hurt anybody on purpose. I don't even think my mother was intending to do that. It's the way she was treated and the way her mother was treated. It was actually her father. And on down the line it goes. So there's no blame. There's no anything. All there is how can we move forward and really help our kids to be able to use their voice in the world, which is one of, in my opinion, the most powerful things we can give them, which is why I'm creating this course, this Psychology of the Voice course for schools. Now, we'll see how many of them want to take it on. All of them need to, for sure, right? Because I tell you, the number of people, like I say, that sit in front of me, 90% of them have a story from their childhood. And even if it's not from the parents, it's from the childhood. And so, you know, the teacher or the neighbor. So if you can get your child to talk to you, then you can address, oh, that guy yelled at you. That's so not about you. You can start teaching them that. But if they don't speak to you, you can't. So, all right. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you all for being listeners. As always, I hope this was beneficial to you for those of you that have parents. And I mean, for those of you that are parents and have kids. And if not, same stuff works for colleagues and coworkers and boyfriends and girlfriends and everybody else. This is the way we need to communicate. All right. So that's it for today. Until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.
Thanks for listening to Captivate the Room with Tracy Goodwin. You can reach out to her at captivatetheroom.com and be sure to grab the Voice Formula, a free video series that will help you start making a bigger impact with your voice today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes.